The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Midnight, straight up here with a fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Noogie. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. A lot of things went down in Toronto, in Canada tonight, including Steve Gelbs admitting that he doesn't like bacon, but that to the side. The Mets won a baseball game. Nolan McLean was super sharp. Francisco Alvarez hit another home run. And Sunday into Monday night, the overnight this week, one of the segments we did was Nolan McLean and how I'm not selling stock or shares of Nolan McLean. I feel like, though, there are some Met fans out there that are kind of going in that direction. And Nolan McLean, look, ever since he's come up here, there's been a ton of pressure on him, which is sometimes that's how it goes, especially in this market. It'll get him battle-tested for his career, you know, to have that sort of feet to the fire right out of the gate. But every time Nolan McLean is on the mound, it feels like the weight of the world is on his shoulders. And he's still a rookie. I mean, this is his rookie season. There are going to be, at times, ups and downs. But I am not selling my stock or my shares of Nolan McLean because I think he's going to be the real deal. I think he's going to be the ace of the staff. I think he's got all the makeup. He's a bulldog. The stuff is there. The personality is there. And when he puts everything together and it all truly clicks, I think he's going to be one of the next great pitchers in this franchise's history that has had a lot of great pitchers. So don't give up on Schlittler or in this case, Nolan McLean, because when you have pitchers that are young, they're going to have nights like this. Schlittler like that, and then Nolan McLean in some of the performances that he's had this year. You know, young, still trying to learn the ropes. I think both guys are going to be here for a very long time. I think the topic or the debate, I should say, of both really, topic debate of who's better, McLean, Schlittler. I think that's one we're going to have in this town for a very, very long time, and I look forward to having it. Rough night for Schlittler. He's going to bounce back. Nolan McLean did bounce back here after what happened against the Cubs at Citi Field, and it was enough to give the Mets a victory, and anytime you can get a victory, it's a good night. It's a great Luke evening. And I know it's about big picture for some people with the Mets right now and maybe the trade deadline and manager and who's going to be the next manager. And I've kind of planted my flag with Alex Cora. I think much like Harbaugh and the Giants, the Mets need to go all in for Alex Cora. They need to wine and dine. They need to full court press. They need to pull out all the stops to hire Alex Cora because he is very similar to Harbaugh in the sense that he's won a championship. He's highly regarded around the league. He is a leader of men. He is a taskmaster. He is somebody that will be highly sought after in the offseason. So it's going to take a lot to get Alex Cora to sign on the dotted line. Now, he does have ties to the organization. There's a lot to like, despite what some people might say about this franchise. I think there's a lot to like about what the Mets have going for them, not only right now, but also in the future. And that's more what Cora cares about, the future, because he's not going to be here right now. He's going to be here next year if he ends up deciding to be the manager of the Mets. But that's my list. I mean, Alex Cora is top, but he is my list. Now, we can have, if it doesn't go through and Alex Cora goes somewhere else and the Mets did everything in their power to get him, but he decides to be the manager of a different team or another team, then we can start to have a conversation, a real one. But I'll throw a name out there, Albert Pujols. I think it's intriguing because I don't know if he's going to be good. You don't know if he's going to be good. There is that unknown when it comes to Albert Pujols. Obviously, he has a relationship with Juan Soto. Pujols has already been on record saying that he's interested in the Mets job. So if there's interest on his end, bare minimum, I would think that, and the relationship he has with Juan, that makes me think he'll be at the, you know, he'll be considered for the role. And the thing about Pujols, you don't know. He could be the next great manager. You can't, with any type of facts, based in your opinion, say that Pujols is going to be bad. And on the same breath, you can't say that Albert Pujols is going to be great. You just don't know. So I think there's some interest there with that because you just, there's an unknown. There's an intrigue there because you it could be amazing. It could be amazing. Where Alex Cora, you know what he brings to the table. You know what type of manager he is. He's top three in the sport, in my opinion. He, guys like Alex Cora, much like Harbaugh, they don't become free agents very often. When they do, you have to pounce. I think Boston made a huge mistake getting rid of him in the first place, and obviously he kind of fell out of favor there with ownership, and things like that happen, but you are Boston, and you let go of a manager the caliber of Alex Cora, you're going to just find out here in the offseason how great of a manager he is because he's going to be highly sought after. There's going to be multiple teams vying for his services, and the Mets have to be right there at the front of the line, at the forefront, in terms of that process of bringing him in and that recruiting process. And as much as Andy Green could go have an awesome second half here, David Stearns made it very clear on Friday that Green will return to his former position with the Mets. He is not up for the job, which means the Mets like him in his previous role. I think you're going to see a general manager at the end of the year be hired. I am 80% sure it's going to be Carlos Beltran. I'm sure Carlos Beltran would... I'm pretty sure Carlos Beltran would be involved right now if he didn't have a very busy summer going on, obviously getting in the Hall of Fame and his number retired. But at the end of the year, I think Carlos Beltran will become the Mets general manager. I think David Stearns will remain as president of baseball operations. And every night, the Brewers win another game. And it just, to me, strengthens the case for David Stearns because the Brewers have become a model franchise, a team that wins a division year in and year out. It's not their fault that the Dodgers are just off the charts, and that's a tough path to the World Series, but Milwaukee would have been there last year if it wasn't for LA. And the Brewers are just a model franchise with sustained winning, and that team was built by David Stearns. Using all the things that people don't like, or a lot of people don't like, analytics, things of that nature. But when you look around the league, I mean, and look, I just want success. I want the team to win. I wouldn't say I'm like the biggest analytical guy, but I'm also not, hey, old school baseball. You know, every situation to me is different as far as the way I'm going to react to it. I'm not like hard-headed and stuck in one way. But when you look around the league, I mean, the teams that use analytics are all in first place right now. Tampa, Milwaukee, Dodgers. So those teams are getting it right. Now, Tampa's got to use it out of necessity. Same thing with Milwaukee. The Dodgers use it also, but they spend a ton of money and have superstar talent. The Mets can kind of be in both of those camps where they can obviously bring in talent like Juan Soto, but they can also use analytics to their advantage. But the more success that Milwaukee has, I think that should strengthen Met fans' feelings towards David Stearns being able to get the job done. And I know he is, at one point I thought Joe Shane was the most hated sports personality or whatever you want to call it, front office executive in this city. That I think has now been moved to David Stearns. I understand that if you come on the radio and you give even a little ounce of support for David Stearns, people are not going to want to hear that. I'm just telling you where I'm at. And perhaps this is positive Tommy in more moderation, or maybe you think this is delusional Tommy. I don't know what to tell you, but I do have faith in what's ultimately going to happen with this franchise. I'm positive the Mets are going to turn things around.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And in a season like they've had over the first couple of months, you know, you have a night like last night where you win a game. McLain pitches, you know, six strong innings. It's a positive night. And you look to build on that positivity. And you continue to watch the development of McLain and Benj and Ewing. And then obviously you have star players like Soto and Lindor. I will always keep the faith. I will always keep the positivity. But the deadline is approaching at the end of July. And depending on how things go over the next couple of weeks, but for the sake of conversation, for the sake of the conversation, if the Mets end up being sellers, I do think they have some pieces that a lot of teams will be interested in. Freddie Peralta, I mean, we talk about last year, there were not a lot of starters out there in the trade market. That's why it was hard for me to even justify anybody criticizing David Stearns for not trading for a starter. There weren't starters out there to be traded for. When you have a Freddie Peralta who led the NL in wins last year, he's an all-star. He's a front-of-the-line type of guy, front-of-the-rotation type of pitcher. You are going to, I mean, look at what you got for David Peterson, who has kind of had his struggles over the last year. You're going to get a lot back for Peralta. You're going to get a lot back for Luke Weaver. Now, Bo Bichette's a little bit different because he could inform the team, look, I plan to opt in, and then the Mets, I would think, would keep him. But if he sort of gives the indication that he's not long for Queens, then obviously you'll get a pretty penny back for Bo Bichette, who has, throughout his career, been a proven clutch hitter, a postseason performer. So any team that's in the running would certainly want Bo Bichette's services. So there's a lot of, for the sake of the conversation, if they end up selling, there is a lot of assets that the Mets have that they could ship out of here to continue to build up the farm system and build for the future. And the future could be next year. You know, teams can grow up in front of your eyes quickly. But the key for the Mets, and this is why you hire David Stearns, and this is his mission, and this is his goal, and this is why he was given this job, and this is why he was highly sought after, it's about winning year in and year out. It's not about 1 year where you, and then it's not two steps forward, three steps backwards. It's about building a franchise to where they win year in and year out, where you win the division constantly, where you're in October constantly. And when you continue to knock at the door, eventually someone's going to answer it and you're going to win your championship and you're going to have your parade, just like we saw with the Knicks. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Let's go to Robbie in Lennox. What's going on,
Robbie? Hey, what's going on, Tommy? Hey. Well, first of all, I wanted to defend Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge hit 500 last year in the playoffs. So tell me, basically, who does Aaron Judge have around him that's a star? You go look at the Dodgers. They have Freddie Freeman. They have Mookie Betts. They have Ohtani. They have stars around him. Tell me who's... It's like the Patrick Ewing syndrome, okay? Patrick Ewing didn't have a secondary superstar. Cody Bellinger's a nice player.
Stanton won an MVP, and he's certainly a star in October.
Never played. Yeah, but I understand that. But when he's healthy in October,
I'd put him as a, you know, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. He might hit 500 home runs in his career.
He could have hit 600 if he was healthy,
yeah.
Tommy.
Yeah, he misses time throughout the year.
Can you imagine? Did you ever notice now, since Cabrera, since Caballero was moved from short, his average has gone right down the tubes. Can we get Anthony Volpe out of the shortstop position and put Caballero back? I know he made an error tonight, but he seems comfortable when he plays short. He's got a better arm and so forth. But let's be honest, Tommy, this is a minor league team. 70% of the lineup was not on the field tonight. This is not a June swoon. I'm not blaming Boone for this. This is not a June swoon. This is on Brian Cashman. You got nothing from the catching position. McMahon, your Gold Glove third baseman, is out. You got Volpe, who's basically hitting out 240. The team is hitting 238. Why is that Boone's fault? I mean, what can he do? He can only sign up a lineup card. Yes, do I hate the fact that he makes a different lineup every night? Do I hate the fact that Cody didn't play tonight, but Cody's in a slump? Benny finally got off the schneid tonight. But when you put yourself behind 4-0, it's a minor league team. Look at the outfield. Spencer Jones is a minor leaguer. Dominguez stinks. And Vex shouldn't even be in the major league. So, I mean, and then you look at the infield. You got Rosario as a backup infielder.
Yep.
And Opie's, this is a minor league team tonight.
Even Goldschmidt, and he's been great. But he's how much longer could you expect to get this type of player?
38 years old, he's been great.
Yeah, exactly.
Great,
but how much longer can you expect to get out of him? And I'm not blaming Aaron Boone. I know others like to blame Aaron Boone. The only thing I would say is that his teams tend to struggle in June, and this is sort of more of the same. But they're also banged up.
But this is a terrible win. Just look at the outfield tonight.
Yeah.
Spencer Jones, Dominguez stinks. I mean, to me, I have no faith. And you know what's interesting? One of your callers called before, Tommy. These guys have no trade value now. And I know you said not about Tarek Skubal. If I'm the Yankees, I'm going after Tarek Skubal. Because let me tell you something. This starting staff is overrated. Cole's a question mark. I don't like Rodati. It was 40,000 pitches. I don't trust Weathers. I don't trust any of the starters.
Well, you didn't mention Schlittler or Fried yet. You kind of buried those two by mentioning anyone else.
Fried, but you don't know what you're going to get from Fried when he comes back. And Fried's not been a great playoff performer.
He hasn't been.
I don't know, Tommy. You know what? Let them get healthy, and when they get healthy, it'll be different. But this is not Boone's fault. Come on, this team's not.
No, this is
right
not
now.
A full strength team. I'm not blaming Aaron
Absolutely,
Boone, but you also
brother.
Know this though, Robbie. There are people that just want to blame Aaron Boone for the weather
course,
and everything. So I mean, Aaron Boone. There's a lot of people that just don't like, or they're sick of Aaron Boone. You know. So that's...
By the way, Landry Shamet's back, so I'm really happy. Maybe Mitch can come back. Can we dance like we did 3 weeks ago, Tom?
That's the plan for next year.
That's the plan. There's no reason. They can't come back and win another championship.
Yep.
And I ordered a great T-shirt today with all the starting nine on it. You know, with the nine guys on it with Coach Brown in the middle. So I'm looking forward to getting
that's
in the
awesome.
Mail. So, all right, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you got it, Robbie. Speaking of, I ordered a bunch of swag for the Knicks winning a championship, and I haven't gotten it yet. And I expect it to be. I don't even know if it's even delayed. It's some of these things I look to order. They're like, you may receive it in August. I'm like, may receive it in August. I want it now. I wasn't thinking I'd get it by the parade, but I'd like to get it, you know, before August. And I haven't, I did get a couple of packages the other day. I didn't open them. I just assumed they were my wives. I wish I had a couple of wives. I actually, unfortunately, have one, but some people have more than one. I just have one. It is what it is. I went with the one wife. But, you know, if you go multiple wives, God bless you. But my wife, I thought it was her packages. And I said, hey, we got, you know, you haven't opened your stuff. She goes, no, I think those are yours. I'm like, oh, okay. So that might be my swag. I got to check that out when I get home tonight. But I ordered a hat. I ordered a shirt. I got a whole bunch of Knick merch coming my way. And you're right, Robbie. Landry Shamet is back. Hopefully Mitchell Robinson's back. We've talked about the second apron ad nauseum. I'll continue to talk about the second apron as long as Mitchell Robinson is a free agent. The Knicks can enter the center. An apron, and the restrictions that normally would hamstring a team that would, I don't even think I used the right word there. Hamstring feels like something that you have on your body that you don't want to hurt. Hamstrung is, they wouldn't hamstrung your team. They wouldn't handcuff your team. Speaking of people with multiple wives, maybe they get into that type of stuff. Hey, whatever you do, you do. That's your personal business. We are in the after hours portion of the program. We've switched over through midnight here so we can spice it up a little bit, but the Knicks can get to the second apron and then get out of it next year. And the restrictions or the handcuffs or things that normally you could be penalized for being in the second apron, they don't really apply to the Knicks because the Knicks aren't looking to add players. They're looking to retain players. They're not looking to sign LeBron James. They're not looking to trade for Kawhi Leonard. They're not looking to sign Hunter Kessler. They're looking to bring back their players. That's it. They want to run it back. And perhaps they could trade off a few guys, but then that's not running it back. But to open up space for Mitchell Robinson, you know, Deuce McBride could be on the move. But yeah, I want to see Mitch back. I mean, obviously the Lakers are in need of a big. The Celtics are in need of a big. Mitchell Robinson is going to find his way to a contender and perhaps a team that the Knicks see down the road. And then now Leon Rose, which, look, in Leon we trust. I'm not going to criticize anything Leon Rose does. In the future, how could you? He's earned 100% trust as far as I'm concerned. But the Knicks are going to need a backup big. They're going to need a bruiser. They didn't address it in the draft. Fine and dandy. Perhaps they are going to bring back Mitchell Robinson. Perhaps they do go to the second apron or they make some room financially. But if Mitchell Robinson is offered a king's ransom by another team, the Knicks might, even if they do move around a couple of pieces, could still find their way to not bringing back Mitchell Robinson because it gets a little too rich for their blood, which would be unfortunate. And then you'd have to go in another direction, and you're going to have to, and listen, you're not going to find somebody like Mitchell Robinson, that's for sure. You're not going to find the best offensive rebounder in the sport. You're not going to find a great defensive player, an X factor, somebody that just, you know, longest tenured Knick. There is no replacement that's going to give you the equal production that you got from Mitchell Robinson. And even if it's on limited minutes, and I know Mitch is on limited minutes, You're not going to find that player out there, but you're still going to have to replace him. So hopefully when it's all said and done, Mitchell Robinson ends up back with the Knicks. Shamet already back. Diawara already back. GTA already back. So I like what I'm seeing. And until Mitchell Robinson signs on the dotted line somewhere else, I will hold out hope that he returns. The Knicks have earned the right to defend their crown. And I'll take it a step further as far as the connectiveness, the cohesiveness, the chemistry, which ultimately led to a championship. I want to see that back on a basketball court next year. I want to see if anybody can dethrone the 2026 Knicks in 2027. That's what I want to see. I don't think you need to change things up. I don't think you need to bring in different role players. This group was so special. And to me, they won because they were a group. They were a unit. They were a team. And I want to see that team back together as much as you can possibly have in terms of bringing everybody back, especially those that played an integral part and played important minutes. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's after hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. Let's go to Bob in Keyport on the Fan. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, Loogie. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, first one baseball thing, then basketball.
Of course. You got it.
So, in the baseball, you know, there's someone who no one's really talking about for the Yankees, a little past his prime, but a real, you know, contact hitter. What do you think about bringing Yogi Berra instead of Wells?
Well, it's going to be tricky. I mean, obviously, that's going to be quite difficult.
I know he's gone 11 years, but, you know, you can bring the stone, have him behind the plate.
Yeah, yeah, you certainly could do that. I think they would probably go in the route of somebody that is still with us and still on this earth, but, you know, you never know. But I do think the Yankees do need help, and I just think that, like I said, Austin Wells is so bad and all their backups are so bad, but I think I would rather go Hunter Goodman than somebody that is deceased.
And in seriousness, what about Ohapi?
Yeah, local guy. I think he's from Huntington. He's definitely from Long Island. Got pop. I like that. Right-handed power bat. Logan Ohapi. Absolutely makes sense. I think that's... And he probably would come a little bit on the cheap. I mean, the Angels are horrible. I would imagine they'd be selling off whatever pieces they have here at the deadline. So Logan Ohapi, as far as a local guy, Long Island guy, I think that makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah, and also on the basketball, you were talking about LeBron James and that, yeah, he's not going back to the Lakers. This whole thing... I'm just confused. Which LeBron James? There was two on the Lakers last year. Which one were you talking about? The senior or the junior?
Yeah, I was talking more about the senior than the junior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The senior.
Wasn't sure which one.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I could see the way you get that conflated. But LeBron James will have a new home, whether it's Miami, which would be like an old home, Cleveland, which again would be like an old home, or actually a new home, Golden State, where you could have a new... And this would be like the Legends Tour, super team with Steph, Draymond, LeBron, and Anthony Davis, which everybody in the national media is rooting for because that's, as they call it, the A block in TV. That would be the top story every day. The Golden State Warriors, the Golden State Warriors, the Golden State Warriors. You wouldn't even know the Knicks won a title if those four join forces in Golden State. You wouldn't even know the Knicks existed on national TV. It would be Golden State, Golden State, Golden State. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Anthony Davis. That would be an absolute disaster, by the way. Really, wherever LeBron goes, like there's no team that he would land on where I'd be LeBron James went there, the Knicks are in trouble. I hope it's in the East, so we have an opportunity in the Eastern Conference playoffs to knock him out and maybe send him to the retirement home. So whether that's Cleveland with the gutless, spineless, heartless Cavs, the analytical darlings in Cleveland, led by Kenny Atkinson, who somehow, and I like Kenny, and I thought he got a raw deal with Brooklyn, but somehow he kept his job. I mean, his team got completely and utterly embarrassed. They blew a 22-point lead in game one. They got swept. And Kenny Atkinson is talking about analytically the team was up in the series. I don't know how you could have that type of performance from your team. And also, Kenny was awful in game one. I mean, I think at one point during that Knick comeback, either Kenny took a nap or he took a taxi and went to go see a Broadway show because he left James Harden on Jalen Brunson. You might as well have put a couch out there to defend Jalen Brunson when you got James Harden on ice skates. And by the way, you can call a timeout when a team is on a massive run. So how Kenny Atkinson was able to do that, to coach that poorly, and to say those type of things to the media about analytically his team is up in the series, how he keeps his job is mind-boggling. But LeBron could end up there. He could join forces with Giannis in Miami. That's certainly on the table. And boy, that would be the A block if he doesn't go. And really, if LeBron ends up with Miami, oh, Miami, Giannis, LeBron. Again, much like with Golden State, it'll be a disaster. Miami gutted their entire team. Everybody that could knock down a three-point shot, they got rid of. Giannis is an aging player. He doesn't have a jump shot. You'll be lucky if he plays half the games. So then you bring in LeBron, who's obviously going to be on restrictions because he's older than, I think he's my age. And look, he's amazing. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm just saying he's in his 40s. So he can't play every night, 40 minutes a night, or even close. But the NBA, and this is, look, the NBA loves this time of year because you have superstars on the move. Kawhi Leonard went back to Toronto to join a young nucleus. So that's an interesting move. Kawhi, another guy though, you know, his availability sometimes isn't always where you want it to be. But he's a money player. He's a clutch player. He's a dangerous player. Toronto will be an interesting team. I got to do a deeper dive on them as far as, and let's see how their offseason pans out. Detroit, who might lose Durin here in the offseason. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. If they lose him, I mean, they were already at a deficit, I felt like, Detroit. They need to be adding, not subtracting. The Pistons do. Cleveland, like I said, they're so spineless, it's not even funny. So they're soft mentally. All the superlatives you can give them in a negative way, that's what the Cleveland Cavs are. Boston, forget about it. They're in shambles. Jaylen Brown will be history. He's yesterday's news in Beantown. They weren't able to get Giannis. Hopefully they don't get Mitch. They have no front court at all. They have no size. They have nothing. And yet they're favored over the Knicks, or were at least at one point, to come out of the Eastern Conference. Orlando's interesting. The only problem is at some point they have to shoot the basketball and put it into the net, and you could go through a full presidency sometimes before they hit a shot. It's just, it's like, and I love college basketball, but it's like watching college basketball, watching, don't try to shoot. Yeah. And I've already kind of, I haven't mentioned them, and that's on purpose. The biggest threat to the Knicks, it's not Giannis in Miami, it's not Boston, it's Indiana. It's Indiana. And I want every bit of them. I do. I want Halliburton. I want the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. That to me is just, whew. Let's do it right now. I'm ready for that. But Indiana poses the biggest threat. They obviously have the Knicks number. They match up very well with the Knicks. They have brute strength. They're physical. Their guards can kind of rough up Jalen Brunson. Halliburton is a clutch player. Has no fear. They're well coached. They had just an awful year with Halliburton out, and they couldn't even tank properly. So Indiana, I expect to be back full strength, ready to go. And even this past year, when they weren't very good, they gave the Knicks everything they can handle. And they see the Knicks, it's their championship. It's their championship. I mean, last year, the Pacers were just awful. And when they saw the Knicks, they gave it their best effort. And they also just match up very well against them. So Indiana, to me, is the team that would give me the most pause for saying, hey, the Knicks are going to get back to the finals. And I believe they will. I believe they'll defend their crown. They'll go back-to-back. But Indiana is their toughest competition. It's not Boston. It's not Miami. It's not Detroit. It's not even Toronto with Kawhi. It's not Atlanta. Although Atlanta should have gotten the second-place trophy last year for beating the Knicks twice. Atlanta really, I mean, I know there's no second place trophy, but they should have gotten a ribbon. They should have gotten something for that. They did what no other team was able to do, beat the Knicks twice in a series. And they're a young up-and-coming team, and they are impressive in some ways, but I don't expect them to make that type of leap. You know, if the Knicks run this back or close enough, they're, in my estimation, head and shoulders, the best team in the league. They're certainly the best team in the Eastern Conference. And if they stay healthy with the type of chemistry that they have and the type of talent that they have and the type of depth that they have and the type of coaching that they have, there's no reason to believe that they won't be back standing there as champions once again. And we all, as Knick fans, will be back down the canyon of Heroes City Hall for another Knick parade as they defend their crown. The first team in 8 years to do that in the NBA. That would be something. And that's where my focus is. And that's why I don't want to hear about a second apron. I really don't. I want to win a championship next year. By all means necessary. The window for this group is not... It's not like they have a young Wemby where it's 10, 15 years. The window is now. The time is now. Yeah, one championship was great. Yeah, it took 53 years or for some and a lifetime for others. But now I want more. Yeah, you get greedy. You win one championship, you want to see more, of course. Especially when you have this type of team. It's not old. You know, if they were kind of on their way out aging and this was sort of their last hurrah, they won a championship, okay, happy to get it. But this is a young team with a young nucleus. Not Wemby young, not Spurs young, but young. Prime, so to speak, of their careers. The time is now to make a serious run at another championship over the next 3 to 5 years. And hopefully that includes Carl Anthony Towns with an extension this offseason. But we'll keep an eye on all things basketball right now because free agency has started. If there's any other major trades, we'll report them to you. Obviously, if something happens with Mitchell Robinson, that'll be the first thing. We'll get that to you immediately. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. If you want to talk Yankees, if you want to talk Mets, if you want to talk Knicks, basketball, whatever's really on your mind for the final 90 minutes of After Hours here, 888-8. Oh, and by the way, it'll be the final After Hours of the week. 4th of July is coming up, so I'll be out of town. So I'll say this now, I'll say it again later. Have a very happy, very safe 4th of July. It is a great holiday. This is a big one here, a big anniversary. It's on a Saturday. That's awesome. I mean, that's just a tremendous, tremendous setup there. So enjoy it. Stay safe. Have a fun one. And like I said, this is the last After Hours of the week. So it's your last opportunity to talk to me for a while. You won't hear or see or talk to me for a few days after this. I'll be back next Monday night. So a few days off here. So 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
12:38 here at the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Another a little less than 90 minutes before Alison Tron takes over at 2 a.m. Yankees, losers of 6 straight. How about this for a stat? The Yanks have 16 hits in their last 5 games. The lowest number of hits over a 5-game span in their franchise's history, which obviously spans a very, very, very long time. Look, the Yankees are not doing anything right in all facets of the game. Cam Schlittler on the mound tonight was not good. The offense, as I just laid out, has been awful. The defense has been very sloppy. It is the typical June swoon with the added sort of, hey, there's a lot of injuries, namely to Aaron Judge. You're missing your best player, one of the great players in the sport. And when Aaron Judge is not in your lineup, and not only that, his leadership, along with Stanton, his leadership and both of their production, you're going to struggle. And the Yankee lineup tonight, I mean, you got Goldschmidt and Rosario who have given you a lot this year, especially Goldschmidt. It's hard to expect 162 production out of those guys. Now, Rosario, obviously, a little bit more of a bench player, but they're older players, and you're going to go to the well a lot with them. And Goldschmidt's starting to struggle, but he's had such a great year so far. This kind of happened to him last year, you know, when you got to the dog days, which we haven't really even approached yet, but still, it's the midway point. You know, he kind of hit the skids. Ben Rice has been struggling despite the home run tonight. But, I mean, Dominguez, Spencer Jones, it was a rough lineup, especially the back end of it. You know, 7, 8, 9 tonight was not good. But they're hurt. Grisham's out. Stanton, Judge, Bellinger needed a day off. I mean, the guy dropped a fly ball yesterday. I mean, when Cody Bellinger's dropping fly balls, that's all you need to know about the state of where the Yankees are at, and that tells you all you need to know about what Bellinger, as far as where his head's at, and needed a day off. And I thought Sunday night was a gut-punching loss where it's hard to recover from that. Now, here's the good news on the Yankees, at least from my end. I think they're the best team in the American League. I think they're going to the World Series. They're obviously going through it right now. A lot of that has to do with the injuries. And when you have Cam Schlittler on the mound, you need him to throw up zeros, and he wasn't able to do that. You're not getting strong performances from your starters. Warren's got a big one coming up later today. He's been struggling. But when this Yankee team gets fully healthy and they make the necessary trades at the deadline, including bringing in a catcher and another bat in the infield, a couple of relievers, this Yankee team, to me, is going to the World Series. Now, as far as the Mets, they got a win. Nolan McLean looked good. Francisco Alvarez hit another home run. I'm not selling my Nolan McLean shares as far as his stock. And for the sake of conversation, you know, if the deadline approaches and the Mets end up being sellers, there are plenty of guys on this roster that I think will be very much appealing to other teams. Let's head out to Kevin in Hicksville. We're also keeping an eye on NBA free agency because it started yesterday. Kevin in Hicksville, what's up, Kev?
Tommy, what's up, bro?
Hey, what's happening?
Listen, man, I'm with you and Mitch, dude. We've seen how valuable he is to this team. I don't want to hear about no apron either, man. We've been through hell with this team for 20-plus years until recently.
Yep.
You open the checkbook, get him back here. We deserve a chance to run it back, man.
Absolutely. And when I first heard about the second apron, it was right during the parade, so my mind was more on celebratory. It was more on just experiencing something that I hadn't experienced before with this team. But once the parade ended and that weekend ended and it was now the draft and the offseason, I started to digest the idea of the second apron. I started to figure out, hey, the second apron, it's not as bad as it would be for other teams. Would it be for the Knicks? Because they're just looking to retain their players. And like you said, you gotta write that check. I mean, this team has earned the right to run it back, to defend that crown, and to have another parade next year.
100%, man. Anyone with two eyes sees how valuable Mitch is to this team, man. I just bring it back to when he came back last year from the injury. Ever since then until now, he's been a different player, man.
Well, he's a difference maker. I mean, the offensive rebounding, the shot block, the defense, he's just always been an X factor. Even if it's in limited minutes, he's extremely important to this team, much like Ananobi, who obviously has a bigger role. But I kind of have Mitch in that same X factor category, and I would hate to see him go, and I would really hate to see him go to somewhere like, I don't know, Boston. So that would annoy me.
100%, or Brooklyn, God forbid.
Well, Brooklyn, I don't know if that's, is that even on the table? I don't know what traded for Randall. They signed Keon Ellis tonight. But yeah, I would think Mitchell Robinson, if you asked me right now to say where I think he would go if he doesn't stay with the Knicks, I think he'd either go to Boston or the Lakers.
Lakers, that's what I'm feeling. Just a quick thing on McLean, man. You're not going to like this, bro, because it's negative. But I love McLean. But, dude, just with that violent arm angle and just the way he pitches with that wicked curve.
What are you worried about him getting hurt?
A little bit.
Yeah, listen, unfortunately, it's the reality of a lot of starting pitchers, whether they have a weird arm angle or not, and you try to avoid the TJ as long as humanly possible. This is why I don't like signing starters to long-term deals, because then, unfortunately, they all get hurt.
Right.
You know, I hope the best. Look, Nolan McLean is certainly built like a linebacker. I think he's built for a guy that can withstand the wear and tear of a 162 season as far as, you know, pitching a ton of innings. Yeah, you just have to hold your breath with pitchers with their arm angles and their arm, and then they don't get hurt. That's the only thing I could tell you. So I don't think it's negative. I think you're just worried. I get the fears and anxiety about that stuff.
I'm worried about him, man. Just I hope the Mets are past this, but you see they're going to get good next year, and then something's going to happen with the TJ.
Well, that's where
him,
so that's,
he hasn't had it yet.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Well, I mean, he's super young. I think you worry about that a little bit more. Or that's more of a concern and a fear, and I appreciate it, Kev. You know, if he's 29, 30, things of that nature, but it's hard for me to take that sort of mentality away from fans, because you're always fearful of injuries. and you know how much it could derail a team, and with pitchers, and we could do, you know, 17 hours on how pitchers are coddled when they're younger, and there's way more arm injuries now than ever before, and way more Tommy John surgeries, and you're trying to protect pitchers, but you ultimately end up hurting them down the line. And also, I mean, this Mizorowski in Milwaukee, he's throwing 105 miles an hour. I don't wish anything on him, but that boy, doesn't that feel like somebody that's going to get hurt at some point? I mean, I know Chapman does it, but he does it as a reliever. He's not doing it over the course of 6 or 7 innings every 5 days. Guys are throwing a lot harder. They've been coddled. So injuries, unfortunately, do happen, whether it's an arm angle thing or not. You hope that's, and some people just never get hurt. They just kind of have those genetics. And hopefully McClain is in that category. And all the pitchers on them. I mean, you look at Clay Holmes. I mean, that was such a freak injury. That's why, to me, Clay Holmes is extension eligible here. He was on his way to the All-Star game. And the Mets would have 3 All-Stars if Clay Holmes stayed healthy. Clay Holmes, Soto, and anyone want to guess? Yeah, you guessed it. Luke Weaver, who is well deserving of an All-Star nod. And if things continue to go the way they go and the Mets decide, hey, we're going to sell, you know, for the sake of this conversation, they end up being sellers, you're going to get a lot for Luke Weaver. A lot. And that was a move that was criticized by many about David Stearns. Oh, another former Yankee. No. How about just a good pitcher who had success with the Yankees and knows the market and could be a setup guy or a closer? And I would think that whatever team trades for him could view him in either role. So not only has Weaver been unreal, but if, for the sake of this conversation, the Mets end up selling, Weaver is going to get you a nice return because there are teams out there that could view him as a closer. And you know you're going to get more back for a closer than you would for a middle reliever. Plus you have Raley, you have Minter, things. But by the way, all David Stearns additions. But to me, Weaver, just how dominant he's been this year. But yeah, Clay Holmes for me is an extension because he was on his way to the All-Star game. He was pitching like an ace and he's been terrific, and I think he's already earned that for what he has done in a year and a half, and look, it sucks. It was a freak injury. It was a line drive off of his leg. You know, how many times you see a pitcher take a line drive off their leg, and twice in that game, Cam Schlittler got a ball off his leg, and he was fine. And Clay Holmes gets one, and his season is basically over. So that was unfortunate for Clay, and it's been unfortunate for the Mets rotation because he was a big part of, you know, a guy you could trust every 5 days to sort of stop the bleeding. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Brian joins us next in Rochester. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Lugie.
Hey.
First of all, happy early 4th of July. Have a great vacation, man.
Thank
you. Yeah, we'll miss you until next week.
Appreciate it.
Hey, a couple things. So, a couple Mets things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously it's Alex Cora or bust as Mets fans.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be the guy, but let's say he's not. Let's say, okay, you know, a Craig Counsell situation appears or, mm-hmm, or occurs and he goes somewhere else. What about Joe Girardi?
Very interesting. He's with Yes, this is what I would say before we continue the conversation. Joe would jump at the chance to manage the Mets. That's just how I feel about it. I think Joe is itching to get back into it. I think that Joe has a couple times gotten some raw deals. I think Joe Girardi, and he's a name that is no stranger to this organization as far as potentially being the manager. I think Joe Girardi is an interesting name, and I also think Joe Girardi would be very much interested in the job.
Yeah, I think he'd do great. He knows New York. And
correct.
You know, he's a no-nonsense guy.
Yes.
So, you know, Cora obviously top of the list, but I would also, if things don't work out there, would love to see Girardi, you know, the Mets entertain Girardi.
Yeah.
The other thing,
just to stay on the manager thing, and I brought this up a couple times, but with Albert Pujols, I'm intrigued by that because there's such an unknown. He could be a great manager. I don't know that. You don't know that. None of us know that. So the idea of bringing him in, he could be outstanding. He could not be outstanding too, but he could be the next great manager in baseball. None of us have any idea because we haven't seen it other than the World Baseball Classic. So I find that one intriguing. If we're talking about, all right, Cora's off the board or Girardi somehow the Mets are not interested. I kind of like the idea of an unknown because much like Leon Rose, that was, hey, could a agent become an executive? Well, Leon Rose proved that. Albert Pujols doesn't have the big league managerial experience, but he could end up being great.
I'm not opposed to Pujols. I respect the guy. He was a great player. Oh, yeah. He played the game the right way, and yep. I think you'd get a lot of respect in the clubhouse.
Definitely.
The other thing, you have Luis Robert, and you have Jorge Polanco coming back,
yes.
or whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
So what does that do to Bientos and Beatty? Because, I mean, let's face it, these guys are busts. I think it's safe to call them busts. I don't even know if they have any trade value at this point. But I'm tired of seeing those two being run out there. Mm-hmm. Not that Polanco or Robert are really, to be honest, too much better.
Well, this is the domino effect, and they brought it up on the broadcast. Luis Robert Jr. obviously would come back. He would return to center field. AJ Ewing came up as an infielder. AJ, I would think, would move to the infield. I am not in the camp of not giving AJ Ewing playing time. Now, I'd rather see him in the outfield, but if he can play the infield, or you could even, I guess, move Soto to DH. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do, and we're talking short term, obviously. There's things you can do, but one thing you can't do is take AJ Ewing out of the lineup.
Absolutely not.
And as far as Beatty and Vientos, look, and you know I'm a huge Vientos supporter. This is obviously their last sort of legs here, and I maybe this is the final dying on the hill here. I think Mark Vientos has value. He is obviously not a first baseman. He's defensively not a guy that could play first base. It's supposed to be Polanco. But I do think Mark Vientos has value as a DH, especially against left-handed pitching. I think that he does have value. I think all still to the Mets and would have value in the trade market. I mean, maybe that's just me being Mark Vientos stan, but I still believe in the guy. And I think it's and he's got, you know, he's said some things this year that I can't defend, and he's done some things this year that I can't defend, but I still think there's ability there. He's just clearly not a first baseman.
Is he on the trade block come the deadline, should the Mets sell?
Yeah, for the sake of the conversation, if the Mets are selling, I think he would be. He also falls into the camp of not, you know, he wasn't a David Stearns guy. And whenever you're in that sort of, when you're not the, you know, you weren't drafted or developed, or you're not, you know, the current, you know, president of baseball operations, you're not his guy, in all likelihood, you know, your nine lives are more or less running out.
Yeah, and more so, you know, Beatty, I'm over the whole Beatty experiment. He had multiple opportunities. Yep. You know, this is what, his third, fourth stint in the major leagues. He's mm-hmm. gotten really no better. I like to call him the tweener. He's great at triple, you know, hits great at triple A, can't really get the job done at the majors. And I don't know, whatever you can get for the guy, get him. You know, we get a relief pitcher even, or a couple of mid-level prospects.
Yeah, I think you'd be looking for prospects when, if you were to deal those guys, you know what I mean? They're looking to build up that farm system even more, which was in complete shambles before Stearns got here. So I think it's much like with Peterson, they got a former second-round pick for a couple of years ago. I would think that's what they would get in return for somebody like Brett Beatty.
All right, well, hey, have a great vacation, man. Enjoy it. Stay safe, and we'll listen to you next week when you get back.
Yeah, appreciate it. Good conversation there, Brian, and yeah, it'll be the first of many here throughout the summer. There's a lot we could talk about. The managerial one is, I mean, David Stearns put an end to Andy Green getting the job, you know, full-time or long-term. So it opens up the discussion for manager really throughout the summer. Even if, and I have faith and hope that this is the case, that Andy Green manages his ass off and the Mets turn things around, it's still been said by Stearns that Andy Green will return to his former position with the Mets and would not be the manager. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Tomorrow night, and I wish I was on the air to discuss this because I do think it's going to be a big moment for USA men's soccer for us, as I believe USA will move on to the end Patriotic Tommy did predict that they would get to the quarterfinals. This was before the World Cup started. From what I've seen in this group play, I mean, that first half against Paraguay was the best half in the history of USA men's soccer. This is a very talented team. Pulisic is now back. He's healthy. Flo Balogun is a tremendous striker, one of the most talented players I think USA or us has ever had. As far as soccer goes, men's soccer. So I'm very much looking forward to that match. It'll be a tomorrow night. If, and I believe they will, USA wins, they move on. Patriotic Tommy gets his moment. They get to the quarterfinals. And then from there, it's a free roll. I mean, you get to the quarterfinals and you could possibly get to the semifinals. Now, quarterfinals, you'd be semifinals, if we want to get ahead of ourselves. It could be Spain or Ronaldo-led Portugal, which would be very spicy. And I expect, as a country here, especially with 4th of July on Saturday, we're going to start to really, really dive into the soccer here. And it would be great to see this group go on a nice run here during the World Cup. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. If you want to join the conversation now, you can. 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.